Why are you here tonight? Why did you marry who you married? Why do you have the job that you have? Why are there fewer here this evening than this morning? You may think about these things for a second, and you may be wondering why I ask. The answer to each of these questions is simple. It's you made a judgment. You made a judgment about each of these things. You made a choice or a decision, and that's exactly what judging is. You are here tonight because you made the decision. You deemed it worthy of your time to come and worship the Lord. Guys, you married your wife because you judged them. You made the decision that they were worth the effort, they were worth the time, and that they were the right one for you. Women, you married your husband because they probably tricked you. No, you decided that he was a worthy man to spend your life with. You have your job because you made the decision that it was the right job for you, and because the person who hired you made the judgment that you were the right person for the job. My point is this. In our world, our society today, that word judge gets tossed around a lot. It gets thrown around a lot, and often in a negative manner. And yet, each and every day, we make judgments. We make decisions. You know, growing up, I used to think that John 3:16 was the most well-known Bible verse, and perhaps it was at one time, but now I'm pretty much convinced that it's Matthew 7:1. Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not that you be judged." A lot of people know that the Bible says that somewhere. It says, "Judge not." Bible says, "Don't judge." But that's the extent of what they know about that verse, about the context that is there. The idea that is attached to judging is in our society is more often and more accurately associated with the idea of that being judgmental. There is a big difference between judging and being judgmental. To define the word judge is literally to form an opinion or conclusion. That's all it means, to decide. Literally to make a choice based upon an evaluation. That's what we do each and every day in our lives. Judgmental, on the other hand, is having or displaying an excessively critical point of view. And that is, again, a huge difference from simply judging. And that's what I would like for us to look at this evening. Do we judge today, or are we supposed to judge today, or are we judgmental today? And we're going to see, what does the Bible say about judging? We're going to look at some examples in the Bible of where judgments were made. And then we're going to look at some of the restrictions that we have regarding our judgments that we make, and the wrong kind of judgments that could be made. And then lastly, we will also look at, again, the kind of judging that is prescribed in the Bible. First, there is a place for judging. There is indeed a place for judging. As we've already seen just from our question, my simple questions in the beginning, we make judgments all the time. That's just part of our daily lives. The idea of judging is just making a decision. So if there is a place for us to judge in every other aspect of our lives, then why would there not be a place for that when it comes to religion, when it comes to God, when it comes to Scripture? We have to be able to judge these things. 1 John 4, verse 1, a verse, again, we looked at last week in our lesson, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Well, what does that mean? Try every spirit, test every spirit. That means we have to make a judgment call. We have to evaluate that which is coming before us, whether it is of God or whether it is not. That is a judgment. We have to make that decision. You know, we have to prove whether it is of God or not. If something is taught and is contrary to God's word, we have to judge that it is false. We have to. There's no way around it. Another instance showing this is in John chapter 7 and verse 24. John chapter 7 and verse 24 says, "Do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment," or judge with righteous judgment. What does that mean? Again, very clearly, the Bible does not say don't judge. In fact, it says to judge. But we'll look at this verse again in a little bit in our lesson once we get down to the kinds of judgments we're to make. But this verse very clearly states that we are to make judgments. But there is by using the phrase make right judgment, when we look at that, that also indicates if there's a right judgment, that means there's a wrong judgment as well. If there is a right judgment that we can make, then there is a wrong one as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15, Paul, speaking of judgment, he appeals to the people to judge him. He says, I speak as to sensible people, judge for yourselves what I say. That's Paul to the Corinthians, judge for yourselves what I say. Not only do we find in Scripture the exact opposite of what most people would think, we do find that we are to judge. Paul calls for people to judge what he's saying. Judge what I am saying for yourselves. Test it. Try it yourselves. Determine whether what I'm saying is truth or not. And really, that is the beauty of truth. That is the beauty of truth. That is the beauty of God's Word. It can be tested. It can be judged. It can be tried. And it will hold up to that test every single time. It has nothing to hide. There's no fear holding to God's Word. And then one of my favorites on this idea, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. Be united in the same mind and same judgment. We need to stand together for truth. We need to be united in like mind and in like judgment. Paul calls for unity, but not unity with the world, not unity with everything, but unity with one another in truth, according to that which is true. And to do so, again, we have to make judgments. We have to determine what is true and what is not. A couple of examples of the idea of judging being displayed in Scripture, if you will turn to Acts chapter 15 and verse 19. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 19, we have this example of where it is being determined by the apostles as to whether the Gentiles should be circumcised or not. They are discussing this, and it says, therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. The judgment is made. No, they don't need to be circumcised. Don't need to bother them about that. Don't need to make things more difficult than they has to be. They don't have to be circumcised. So that is the judgment. But the judgment is also, don't bother them about this, but we do need to bother them about this other thing. We do need to write them about this other thing. They do need to be told to abstain from those things polluted by idols. They do need to be told to abstain from sexual immorality and things that are strangled and from blood. All right, that is the judgment that is made. Judging error as error is not judgmental. It is acceptable and it is necessary. It was needed, and these things, they needed to be addressed. And that was the decision that was made. It's not swept under the rug, turning a blind eye to and ignoring it. These things had to be addressed and dealt with. Judging is not a bad thing. Paul makes a judgment in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. In regards to sexual immorality, he says, for though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of the Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord, in the day of the Lord. Sounds pretty strong what Paul is saying there. He's saying, even though he himself is not there with them, his spirit is with them, he is making this judgment call on this matter. He is saying, you are to deliver this man to Satan. And the point is, you're to deliver this man to Satan for destruction of the flesh, so what? So that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. His decision, his judgment is, this individual had been in sin. He had not turned, he had not repented, he had not turned from that sin. And therefore, Paul says, really withhold fellowship from him, have nothing to do with him, so that he may see the error of his way, is what it comes down to. Sometimes certain things require a stern judgment and a stern discipline, kind of, in a sense, to get some sense knocked into you. Sometimes the only thing that brings about true change is seeing real consequences for your actions. And that's what Paul is calling for here. He's not saying have no fellowship with this individual because we hate him, because we don't like him, because we don't want anything to do with him. He's saying have no fellowship with him so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. The hope is that this man will see the error of his way and come back. That is the hope that Paul is asking for here. He's hoping this man will repent. We have to make matters. We have to make judgments in regards to who we associate with and how we associate with them and when we don't associate with somebody. And that's exactly what Paul does here. Another good example of this idea of judging in Scripture, we have Lydia. After her and her whole household were baptized, she asks Paul in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15, says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." Again, this is something that I think we can appreciate about what is being said here. When there is truth, when something is true, when something has nothing to hide, there is no fear of being judged. There is no fear of scrutiny. And that's what Lydia is saying here. Judge for yourself. If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. She has nothing to hide, and she's open to being examined. She doesn't shy away from being judged. She welcomes it, in fact, because there is no reason for her to hide or to be ashamed. And though we see these clear examples of judgments being made in Scripture, we see clearly that the Bible does not say we are to not judge. In fact, it says the exact opposite. There are some restrictions regarding that. We are to not judge regarding. We are not to judge in a self-righteous manner, and this is discussed in Matthew chapter 7. The restriction, when we look at it, you know, we have that verse 1 where it says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." People know that verse, but they don't know the rest of it. They don't understand the rest of it. This is a restriction about self-righteous judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." Verse 2, though, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly that to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Judge not, that ye be judged." And again, sadly, that's where most of our world stops. But that's not where the statement stops. What these verses say is that we need to be make sure we're not guilty of the same thing. We need to make sure we're not having a huge problem in our lives too before we try to help others. We don't need to criticize others when we have bigger problems on our own hands, when we're dealing with the same problem. Once our problems are dealt with, then we can better help others though. And that's what that song says, to judge not, that ye be not judged, verse 1. But then at the very end, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. That means once you've done this, though, you can do that. You can help them. By the standard we judge others, by that same standard, we will be judged. And if we are judging according to God's standards, how can that be wrong? It can't. It cannot be. And it cannot be a bad thing. So we have restrictions regarding self-righteous judgment. We also have restrictions concerning superficial judgment. Superficial judgment. This goes back to what we saw with John chapter 7, verse 24. "Do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment." Don't judge according to appearance. You know, we have to be completely sure about someone or about something and someone before we make a judgment about them. You know, don't judge a book by its cover, in essence. Don't judge by this by appearance. If you take something at a glance and without thoroughly investigating or examining something, you could be wrong. We need to be sure about something before we make a judgment call. We also cannot judge out of prejudice. We cannot judge out of prejudice. In John chapter 7, a few verses down, verses 45 through 52, we have this occur. It says, "The officer then came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, 'Why do you not bring him?' The officer said, "No one ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees answered and said, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, who has gone to him before and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" And they replied to him, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arise from Galilee." All right, they accuse Nicodemus here and say, are you one of them? And that's their judgment out of prejudice. They're saying, as we saw in our Bible class regarding Matthew, Jesus being called a Nazarene, that idea of coming from Galilee, from coming from Nazareth, that was derogatory, that was mean, that was very hateful. They were viewed very lowly. And now they're saying, well, Jesus came out of there, and now you're standing up for him. Are you one of him as well? Did you come out of there as well? That's what they're doing. They're judging out of this prejudice against those from Galilee. And so they're saying that to Nicodemus, they're holding that against him. You know, we see this idea in our media all the time, these kinds of judgments being made. We see, in reality, we see all white people lumped as white supremacists. We see all black people marked as criminals and thugs, and yet that ought not to be. That should not be so. We should not judge people by the color of their skin or by this superficial outward appearance, but instead we should judge them according to the actions that they do, that they live by. Another thing we cannot judge according to matters of opinions. Matters of opinions are just that, opinions. If it is an opinion, we have no authority to hold to one thing or the other and hold it against someone else for differing on that. Romans 14, verses 3 through 4 says, Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. All right, this is in regards to some still thinking or holding to this idea that there were certain things that they could not eat. Under the Jewish law, they had many dietary restrictions, and they're saying, well, some of them were still holding to that. That was now a matter of opinion, though. If they wanted to abstain from these things, well, that was their choice. But you couldn't hold it against them if they did, and you couldn't hold it against someone else if they chose to partake. Today, someone wants to be a vegetarian, go for it. Someone wants to eat bacon for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that's your choice. There are going to be some health consequences, but that's your choice. We can't hold it against someone on these matters of opinion. We can judge. We have to make right judgment. There are restrictions to judgment, and there's a danger to making the wrong kind of judgment. In Matthew 7, 1 through 5 clearly stated that the measure in which we judge others, we will also be judged. And that should be scary to a degree. That should want us to be less judgmental. That should really get us to stop and think. How are we viewing others? How are we responding to others? How are we judging others? James 2:13 adds to this idea. James 2:13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. How merciful are we? How merciful are we? We ourselves sin. We have sinned, and God has forgiven us. He has shown us mercy, and it is only right and fitting that we do the same for others. Matthew chapter 18, if you will turn there, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35 make this abundantly clear. There's a few verses here, but we're going to read them because it makes it such a good example of this idea. In Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21, we read this. It says, "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?' 'As many as seven times.' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his servant. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him. He began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went out and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It's a very sobering thought, a very sobering parable. There's no need for us to be harsh or rude towards our brethren, especially our brethren, when God has been so merciful and generous towards us. God, again, if God has been so merciful towards us, which He most certainly has, then it is only proper and fitting that we are more merciful towards our brethren. That requires patience. There is a place for judgment. There are restrictions to judgment. But we can, again, we can make judgments. We have to. Again, back in Matthew chapter 7, in chapter 7, starting in verse 6, we see another statement that, again, cannot be accomplished without making a judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." How do you distinguish what is a dog from what is not a dog? How do you distinguish what is a swine or a pig and what is not a swine or a pig? You have to make a judgment. You have to make a decision. You have to decide whether it is or not. Matthew 7, 13 through 14, verses abundantly familiar with. "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will enter therein at. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few shall find it." How do we determine which gate is which? How do we determine which one we're on? We have to make a judgment. We have to determine whether we're heading down the right path or not. That's just how it is. We have to judge what is right as right, and we have to judge what is wrong as wrong. However, this does not mean that we have to be judgmental. That was the idea from the beginning, judging versus judgmental. We've seen we have to judge. It's necessary. There's no getting around it. There are right ways to do it. There are wrong ways to do it. We do not have to be judgmental towards others. What was the definition at the beginning? Overly critical towards someone? What is our goal as Christians? What are we here to do? Our goal is to, I've heard it put simply, our goal is to get to heaven and to take as many people with us as we can. That is our goal, to spread the gospel. And we're not going to accomplish that goal by being hateful, condescending, overly critical, having an arrogant, self-righteous, judgmental attitude or approach to someone. All that will accomplish is pushing others away and farther away from Christ. That doesn't mean compromising truth. Absolutely not. We cannot compromise truth. As we saw, we have to call sin, sin. We have to judge sin as sin, and we can't shy away from that. We can't get away from that, but we cannot approach others in this judgmental attitude. We have to call truth, truth, and call sin, sin. Even if it is unpopular, even if it's not something everybody will like, we have to stick with that. Our job is to bring people to Christ. Sometimes it's done through a gentle approach. Other times, as we saw, there is a stern approach that must be taken to prompt a change. And that is the idea of repentance. But neither of those approaches requires that judgmental attitude. Truth will abound, though truth must abound. And if we follow the teachings that are displayed in Scripture, we will leave that overly critical attitude, that self-righteous attitude, and we'll leave that behind us, and we'll look more sincerely first at ourselves to make sure we are in the right, that we're where we need to be, and then we can reach others. Then we can help others where they are erring. So as we close this evening, as we get ready to leave here and go back to our daily lives, leave one another, interact with other people, we need to be mindful of the attitude we do take, the attitude we do have when interacting with others. Because there is that idea out there that as Christians, members of the church, that we are very judgmental, that we are overtly critical of others. That's not the case, and that should not be the case. But we still must make decisions. We still must make judgments. So as we go, let us be mindful of that. Let us examine ourselves. Let us be merciful towards others. Let us make sure we are judging correctly, judging with right judgment, as we saw, and not superficially, not self-righteously, not in any kind of error in our judgment, not according to prejudices, but according to the truth of the gospel and nothing else. So keep this in mind. It is... I know we can get hung up on things, we can get frustrated with things, but we can't let that affect our view of others and our interactions with others, because again, we may be the only ones that others come in contact who know the gospel, who have the gospel, and we may be the only opportunity they have to reach, to find that truth. So as we leave, think about this. Let us do all that we can to be members of the church who are working and laboring towards bringing others to Christ. The lesson is yours. If you have any need at all, if you need the prayers of the congregations, or if there's anything you would like to study and to learn more about, the time to come is now, when we stand and sing the song that's been selected.